We follow Jesus through a world filled with people who don't. Follow him, that is. Now, we care about him and we care about them. So, we are for Christ and culture. From Criswell College, here's our very own president and professor of humanities, Barry Creamer.
You know, they say you never want to mess with a person's children or money. Other people add to that, don't mess with a person's children, don't talk with a person about their children, their money, or their religion. And then people add, or their politics, and you know, you go on eventually, you can't talk to anybody about anything. But I'm telling you, children do fit in that first category of things that can get people upset in a hurry. And that is just the way we are as parents. I can remember times when people would be saying something critical about a child of mine. Obviously, they were mistaken in the moment. And I would just think, I've never felt this defensive about a person before. It's just a very interesting position to be in as a parent because you just love your children. And even when you know they're terrible, and I guess this is with siblings the same way, it's okay for you to beat up your brother, yeah, but you don't want anybody else to beat him up. Winston, nice to have you in the studio today.
Nice to be here.
Glad you could stop in. We're talking about children today because we're talking about parenting today. And in our society, some of the issues that come up with it, and I've actually had a guest on a few times to talk about parental rights because of the threats to parental rights that are going on right now in the UN. And in particular, this treaty that would have implications for parental rights everywhere in the world if we were to sign on to it, and the attempt to avoid having that ratified in the United States while it's still being, and the desire to have a parental rights amendment added to the U.S. Constitution.
Interesting.
And it's, well, I mean, it's not for any complicated reason. It's just like the Baptist Faith and Message. We adopted one in 1925 and 1963. Why do we need another one in 2000? Well, not because, and again, I know that's 15 years ago already, but the reason is for the same reason we'll need another one in 2040 or so. Because times change, people's understanding change, and even though our doctrine remains the same, the application of that doctrine in a culture sometimes has to be defended in a new way because people assume things they didn't assume before. You didn't need an article in the Baptist Faith and Message about gender roles in 1963. Now, maybe you did need it, but nobody knew you needed it. And the reality is, in 2000, you need that. And so we have an article on the family about things that never would have been. In 1963, abortion was still illegal. So you didn't need a statement in the Baptist Faith and Message about abortion.
Uh-huh.
But in the year 2000, you do.
Yeah.
And so for the same reason, it's not like parental rights have changed since the founding of the country and the adoption or ratification of the Constitution. But our understanding of parental rights have sure changed, and the presumption that parents raise their children is not something that we can take for granted anymore. All of a sudden, it's gotten really complicated. And so there are a bunch of different ways to talk about this topic that we can come to, but you ran across an article recently that you were kind of hoping we could talk about on the show, and I want to talk about it today.
Okay.
So I want you to introduce that and what got your attention in the article and made it worth talking about in your mind.
Yeah, this is an article from the Washington Post dated July 14th called "And Now, the Criminalization of Parenthood." And it actually relates to something that we discussed a few months ago about the family in Germany that decided to homeschool their children.
Right.
And, of course, it's against the law there or in some way. And they were actually forcibly taken and arrested, removed from their homes, had their kids taken away from them. I haven't kept up too well with the status of that. But, we haven't seen anything quite that radical here in the U.S., but some of the examples from this article are fairly startling. These are not cases where a parent was, intentionally harming their children, other than one example that we'll look at towards the end. And then the government or some organization steps in to protect the child. But You'll see. I'll go over a few of these examples, and they may startle you. And I'm not saying that the parents involved here were necessarily in the right, like they were making a wise choice mm-hmm. in the way that they were treating their kids. But right. Definitely not what you think of whenever you think of, you know, something so egregious that the law can step in.
Right.
And take action.
Yeah. This is a and by the way, you mentioned that some of these are startling. They are startling, but they're not unique. They're actually fairly common examples of what's going on in the culture all the time. And I just want to mention this before we dive further into the article, that parentalrights.org is a website that gives great coverage of this issue and opportunities to participate in doing something about it by supporting the Parental Rights Amendment and things like that. And so I just, you know, if people want to follow up on this, I would encourage you to go look at parentalrights.org as a dependable website to give you some information about it. Anyway, go ahead with your look at some of these examples.
Yeah, so the first example is an example of a mother and a daughter from South Carolina. Basically, this mother, Deborah Harrell, was she worked at McDonald's, and she during the summer she didn't have anywhere for her daughter to stay. So she had been letting her daughter stay at the McDonald's as she worked. She gave her a laptop. They'd saved up some money, bought a laptop, and the daughter would play on the laptop while her mom was working. Well, laptop ended up getting stolen when their home was robbed. And so the girl asked her mother if she could be dropped off at the park while the mother went to work. And the mother agreed. According to the article, she gave her a cell phone and left her there at the park, which was always busy during the day.
Okay.
It says at least 40 kids at any given time.
How old is the girl?
I am
9 years old, right?
9 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So one of the other moms who was there at the park at the time notices that there's really no adult around that seemed to be taking care of the girl.
Right.
And so she comes up and asks her where her mom was, and she tells her, my mom's at work. So this mom at the park ends up calling the police. The police come in and actually end up arresting the mother and making criminal charges against her for unlawful conduct towards the child.
And the child wasn't endangered in any real sense. Now, I'm not saying that I think it's a great idea for parents to drop off a 9-year-old child at a park and leave them there all day while you're working. Okay,
right.
So we're not endorsing that
or
encouraging that. We don't think that's a good idea. We think it was something that you would talk to the parent about and say, oh, yeah, let's do something better than that.
Right.
I mean, come on, we can find a better solution than that. But the girl wasn't in imminent danger. There are 40 kids or so playing at the park while she's there. I'm giving the numbers that are in the article.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are all kinds of other activities going on there that are safe and involve tons of children who are sometimes immediately being watched by their parents and sometimes not, and they're all apparently fine.
Yeah, so. And the basis for the action by the police was that they labeled her as an abandoned child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which was just simply not the case.
It's not abandonment.
Again,
I find it neglectful. I don't find it the wisest way to parent. I don't agree with it, but this is a pretty strong step to take. You know, we're going to take your kid away, and we're going to charge you with some kind of abandonment. I mean, this is anyway.
Right.
Okay. All right. So there's one example.
That's one example. The second one is from Ohio. And this is about a dad, Jeffrey Williamson, who...
Can we just pause for a second?
Yeah.
Let me just say, part of the difficulty here is how things have changed over time. All of us who are my age and older, and I'm 51... All of us, you know, when we were kids, we left our house in the morning. During the summer especially, we left our house in the morning. Sometimes we went to the park. Sometimes we went to a friend's house. Sometimes we went down to the school play yard, playground. And sometimes we were just walking just from one place to the – walk to Winchell's Donuts. And then that's the one we went to when I was a kid. You could buy a maple bar for a nickel. No, the maple bar was 7 cents. A regular donut was a nickel. I'm just saying, it was cheap, it was fun, we'd walk there, then we'd walk somewhere else, and then we'd find somewhere else to walk, and we might not come back until late in the evening.
Right.
And, I mean, when I was a little kid, we did that all the time.
You and Beaver Cleaver, right?
Yeah, my friend Alex down the street. It was normal for us. And people say, well, it was a different world then. Well, no, it wasn't. There were a lot of creeps back then, too.
Yeah.
And we had these, I don't know if y'all had these when you you were, surely you didn't have these when you were growing up, but when we were growing up, we had, I think it said block parent. I think that's the name that was on these things, but it was a blue hand or something that was up in a window in a house. There would be this blue hand on a white card in a window. Did you see these? You've seen these. Daisy, you've seen these. Seriously. Okay. So did you? Have you ever seen one? So anyway, it said block parent or something like that. And what it meant was you can come in this house anytime you need to be safe. You know, so when something's going on, this is where you go. And so we would see those all over the place.
I'm assuming they didn't let the creepy parents get the blue hand,
well,
right?
I don't know who screened them. Okay. Oh, man. Why don't you put fear into my whole history? Okay. So anyway, the whole point of that is creepy. No, the whole point is, there were creeps back then and dangerous people back then. But, you know, life is life and it involves some risks.
Yeah.
And there are so many things I want to say here, but I can't say because it's on the radio, you know? And so if it were just between me and you, I'd be saying it's insane that people can't get in the back of a pickup truck and ride out to the tank to go fishing anymore.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Putting your kids in the back of a pickup truck to go from your house to the tank is somehow going to cost them their lives. And that's, I'm in total agreement. I think you should never do that, nor should you put your dog in the back of your truck. And I'm just going to say, just never do that. Just don't do it. It would be bad.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm done. I'm not going to go any further. Let's go to the next example,
nice.
Because all I'm going to do is get in trouble.
Yeah, so this going back to the example, this is a story of Jeffrey Williamson.
I used to get in the back of a pickup and get on a lounge chair and ride from here to East Texas to go to the lake.
Wow.
That's how I rode there. I mean, it's hot, but it's fun. And I'm not.
You strap yourself in with a rope or anything
well,
like
I'm
that?
I'm just saying, no, of course
no?
not.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying you should do that now, but seriously.
Right.
You can't eliminate all risk from life and still be alive.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so, and some of them are smart decisions, okay? I think you should wear a seatbelt. I don't think there should be a law that you have to wear a seatbelt.
Uh-huh.
I think you should put your kid in a child protective safety seat.
Right.
And I think it should be approved by the government. But I don't think it should be a law that you have to do that.
Yeah.
You should just teach parents to do it, and then they should be good parents. And when they're not good parents, you should shame them. You should say, wow, you're a really bad parent, and then hope that they change their plans.
Right.
But for crying, I'm just going to say, I'm so happy that we require people. I'm glad that people put children in car seats. I am glad for that.
Yes.
And I'm glad that people wear their seatbelts now.
Right.
I am glad for that, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to stop there and come back to Winston
okay.
and say, what's the next example of egregious parental abuse? And this is unbelievably neglectful for this parent in this second story.
Mind-blowing that any parent could stoop this low.
Okay.
So the story goes that there was a local church in this father's town who would send around a van every Wednesday and Sunday.
And all know churches that have had bus ministries.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the
and
idea
they
we're
pick
talking
up,
about.
But, you know, predominantly kids who or other people that just don't have a means of transportation to get to church. And so he would send off his kids every Wednesday and Sunday to to load up in the van and then go to church. And so apparently one day the kids leave the house to go presumably to the van and
right,
board
to go
it
be
and
picked
leave.
Up. Just the same way you'd send your kids out the door to go to the school bus, but it's to the church bus or
but
the church van.
Yeah, but in this case, one of his sons decides to skip church and went out to play instead. Somehow,
bad kid, bad choice. We don't like it, but go ahead.
Yeah, started playing in the neighborhood with friends. Somehow ended up at the local Family Dollar store down the road. Police officers were called because they noticed the child was alone. Picked him up, took him back to his neighborhood, and arrested the dad for child endangerment.
Uh-huh. See? For letting your kid go stand to wait for a church van to show up. Now, I get it. If you're a parent and you're sending your child, now let me just pause and say, I mean, these stories are, you picked them up out of an article from the Washington Post, right? From a guy who writes for The Watch. Is that the idea? So I'm looking at the article here at the top. Isn't that the idea? So am I looking at the wrong article or am I looking at the right article? This is Radley Balco.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that the name? Oh, so anyway, I just want people to know. I mean, this is out in the media. I mean, it's not like hard to find this information.
Yeah,
the Washington Post published this article. So anyway, the point is, I'm with it. Look, I believe if my kid is going to go to a church on a church van, which isn't going to happen because I'm taking them there. I'm not, but again, I think the parents should go to the church, but I'm not going to require it by law. And I think it makes more sense for a parent to walk with their child to the church van, get to know the driver, get to know the church, make sure it's legitimate, and then send them on the van, but then stand with them. Wait, you know, hey, watching you at the... I can still see you, son. I'm waiting. Okay, they picked you up. Okay, good. Now I know you're going to be under adult supervision until you get home. I think that's the better way to do it and a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
But really? Because a kid slipped out of the line and didn't get on the church van and instead went to the dollar store so he could get bubble yum or something? you arrest the parent for... neglect of the child.
Yeah. And on top of this, and I mean, this is something to think about as well, is, you know, regardless of whether the charges were dropped or not, the news got out that he had been arrested. Don't know. It doesn't say that in the article. But it does say that as a result of local news coverage, the dad was fired from his job and actually remained unemployed for a period of time because of that, because of the news coverage.
So a guy that works for me doesn't watch his kid get on the church van.
Yeah.
The kid runs away temporarily, but just, you know, runs away, goes to the dollar store, and I fire the guy. Fire the guy because his kid ran down to the dollar store instead of getting on the church van.
Yeah.
Management decisions, man. I'm telling you. That is bad. I mean, come on. Seriously.
This guy's had a bad year.
We may not know the whole story. There may be more to it, but I'm looking at it and going, what on earth is going on in our culture? So if you leave your, and it mentions later, there is another story. So let's just say there is a reason that we have these kinds of concerns. So I'll let you give the third story before I jump in and start to, you know, ranting a little more about another example of this kind of stuff.
So, and I think this story for most readers, I mean, this one's going to strike you a little bit differently than the last two.
It's going to strike most of our listeners differently. It doesn't strike me differently.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that'll be fun to discuss why.
In other words, it strikes you differently.
Why within your distorted mind. So this one's out of Tennessee. Basically, an issue of a mother who was arrested after testing positive for drugs. And apparently recently there was a law passed that allowed mothers of pregnant children, not mothers of pregnant children, pregnant mothers... pregnant mothers to be prosecuted for assault for the illegal use of narcotics while
assault.
They were pregnant.
Assault.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Prosecuted for assault. And so she tested positive and was arrested for that.
Okay. So look, nobody thinks it's a good idea to, you know, use any kind of substance that could bring harm to your child. It doesn't matter whether it's illegal or not. Fetal alcohol syndrome is one of the worst things to come out of using, you know, substances that are dangerous during your pregnancy. We've also had it with legal drugs, prescription drugs that were prescribed by doctors. And, you know, women have used them during pregnancy, even when they didn't know they were pregnant. It's led to horrific birth defects. So there are all kinds of reasons for saying don't use anything other than organically grown jicama when you're pregnant, you know. That's fine. I think that's
one of Daisy's favorite dishes, actually.
Jicama. So I'm exaggerating, but I am saying that makes sense to me. It makes sense to me that when you have your child in your, you know, in your womb, and you're, that's the time that everything is developing in this child's life. I mean, everything is growing into the thing it's going to be forever. Then you do everything possible to provide optimal nutrition and minimal risks to the health of the baby during that time. But it has gotten to where we're fairly absurd about the things we're willing to include and not include in that, and what we're willing to make legal or illegal during that time. And it's fine with me. Meth, I mean, for crying out loud, I'm a teetotaler on alcohol. not just illicit drugs.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that stuff being off the table, out of the country, not available. I'm all for that. Because it's an illegal drug, because it's harmful to people, because, you know, and so on. But assault on the child, you know. So I get it. Uh-huh. Because it can harm the child.
Right.
Smoking in your own home harms your child in your home.
Right.
So we'll make that a law, you know, make that assault.
Yeah.
And it's really odd to me that we view, again, the most vulnerable ought to be the most protected. So I'm not against protecting children from substances like that. But then they ought to just be illegal altogether.
Uh-huh.
And then the problem is that you used the substance or owned the substance or had the substance.
Right.
And I'm not advocating for, you know, all kinds of new laws. I'm just saying let's somehow create some consistency and thought about this and just say, why is the problem here assault instead of just that this woman is on meth?
Yeah.
And that brings harm to her and her family and everybody around her. But it just does. The problem is she's on meth.
Yeah.
But you don't accuse her of assaulting the neighbors down the street who are somehow affected by the gunfire that happened at the meth house that's,
right.
you know, eight rows down because she was a part of the process that allowed that meth house still to be there.
Right.
I mean, why extrapolate it to these other claims? Because we're turning parenting into a better opportunity to be a criminal.
Yeah.
Instead of allowing parenting to be what it is, a responsibility for another human being. And that means you got to take care of the person. But that means you have to take care of the person.
Right.
Not the culture, not the community, not the society. You bear the responsibility. So anyway, go ahead. I'm
sorry. Well, I guess, you know, what's the danger in you know, all of these cases, but in particular this one, which I think most readers would look at and think, yeah, something needed to happen. Some kind of justice needed to be served because of the effect that this has on the child. What is the danger in the way that the authorities approach the situation?
Oh, so let me. Here's the deal. And if what you're doing is actually wrong or illegal, like taking meth,
yeah.
then you should enforce the law because you're taking meth. Okay, so I'm that one is slightly different in why it could be enforced this way, but not in the fact, you know, that it's wrong to do what you did and you should be punished for what you did, but we shouldn't exacerbate the measure of how wrong it is because you happen to be a parent, right? The real danger then of making laws like this where you say we're going to arrest you for neglect if you allow your child to play in a park without your immediate oversight. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to come back after this break and answer that question. So we got a little short break. We'll be back to finish the conversation in just a moment.
Thousands of sermons, one single focus. WACriswell.com is the website set apart for the study of God's Word through this champion of the faith. Dr. W.A. Criswell served as senior pastor at the First Baptist Church of Dallas for a half century, and his legacy will live on for generations. Over 4,100 sermons are ready to hear on your schedule, and you can search by series, title, verse, and more. It's the Bible preached with passion, conviction, and belief. Log on anytime, WACriswell.com.
Criswell College people say, I care about the words of God because
they are my daily instruction.
You know, you think about the Bible, its impact upon history. If you're going to choose one book to live your life by, it would be that one.
I choose to believe them.
I value life because
God created it and He values it.
It seems to be one of the few things worth valuing.
Join the discussion as we talk about these topics from the studios at Criswell College every day right here.
Monophysitism, supralapsarianism. You might think these theological topics don't have a great deal to do with your spirituality. And to be honest, you might be right. But let me tell you some of the other things I've seen and learned while a student here at Criswell College. I've seen professors passionate about seeing the lost come to Christ, hitting the streets, and sharing their faith. I've learned firsthand that the Lord has arranged different members of His body in a way that pleases Him and is also a blessing to us. I've seen professors lead by example and humble themselves before others. And finally, I've learned that your theology absolutely does affect how well you love. So no matter your interests, whether they be ministry or theology, practical or philosophical, Criswell College is a great place to start. And who knows? Someday you might find the Ordo Salutis and the Hypostatic Union incredibly interesting topics. Find us at criswell.edu. Welcome back. Here at Criswell College, we are all about making Christ known in our culture, and we have a blog to prove it. Go check it out at forchristandculture.com.
Welcome back to For Christ and Culture. This is Winston Hotman. I'm here with Dr. Creamer. And Dr. Creamer, we've been discussing some issues, some examples of parental rights that have come up recently, and you were discussing the dangers of when authorities get involved in the wrong way.
And this is the reason for it. It's very simple. I wish I could give some other examples to make the point, but in a very simple term, one of our highest priorities in life is being able to instill our values in our children, to teach our values to our children. Deuteronomy 6 teaches it in the Old Testament. Ephesians 6 teaches it in the New Testament. We just get the idea that it really matters that we be able to say to our children, this is what we believe in. This is why you should believe in it. This is how I want to teach you to believe in it. And actually, even in Scripture, there are explanations and then expectations about how we teach that to our children, some of which is no longer compatible with what our society believes about how children should be instructed. We want that freedom to teach our children the way we believe and what we believe. That's what we advocate for. But this is what we have to acknowledge in that context. Our freedom to raise our children the way we believe they should be raised is only legitimate if it entails the freedom of other people to raise their children the way they believe their children ought to be raised. And if they have values that we can't allow to be in our society at all, then that should be handled because of what the parents are doing, not because of how they're raising their children. Yeah. That's the way to manage it. Winston Hotman, thank you very much for being on the program and introducing the topic. Sorry we didn't have more time to handle it, but we'll come back to it another day. Daisy Reynolds, thanks for producing. I'm Barry Creamer, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to weigh in on the topic we've discussed, email us at forchristandculture@criswell.edu. We'd love to hear from you. Now get out there and change your world. For Christ and Culture.